At Firefly Willows, LIVE, we're working hard to be your trusted source for fun, enlightening, and heart-centered information and community. And we're passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected, media-rich world. If you're passionate about facilitating change and you have gifts or ideas you'd like to share, come join us. Host a show or be a guest or connect us to an amazing speaker or teacher whose message is too good to miss. There's always room for courageous, knowledgeable change makers, inspired artists, and new ideas. Let us know you're interested. Send an email to info@fireflywillows.com. We're Firefly Willows, LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light. Firefly Willows, LIVE presents What's Your Prescription for Balance? Featuring your host, Dr. Glenna Calder.
Welcome to Watch Your Prescription for Balance on the Firefly Willows channel on Blog Talk Radio. Watch Your Prescription for Balance is a show that's sure to inspire you with vibrant guests and discussions on health, life coaching, and more. I'm your host, Dr. Glenna Calder from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is a special night as I speak with the co-creator of Watch Your Prescription for Balance and the host of Healing Conversations, Mildred Lynn McDonald. Mildred Lynn is my mentor and a friend and has taught me many things. Most importantly, she shared with me her philosophy on how to navigate through life. Tonight, she has agreed to let me ask her some questions live. I'm sure you'll find her fascinating, inspiring, and insightful. So let's go and check in Sebastopol, California, and welcome Mildred Lynn. Hi, Mildred Lynn. Are you there?
I'm here, Glenna. It occurred to me today that I'm so used to being the one who asks the questions. Now I know how everybody else feels.
It's different to be on the other side, isn't it?
It really is. But I'm looking forward to the experience, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you're going to ask me.
Well, thanks again, and I guess it's the afternoon there. What's the weather like?
Beautiful. You can smell fall in the air. The apples are falling off the apple trees, and every afternoon around this time, I live about 20 minutes from the ocean, so a breeze goes across the land, and it's very refreshing. It reminds me of Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia.
So I guess you're drawn to the ocean.
Very much so. I find the rhythm of the waves really helps me reset my natural heartbeat and my natural rhythms, which we've talked about before. Mm. So once the waves start going in and out, everything comes together and I feel really centered and off I go.
And is there any area around you where it's woods, where you can go walking in the woods also?
I have lots of beautiful sequoia trees and lots of huge, absolutely huge redwood trees surrounding where I live. And when you walk into those magnificent trees, it's almost as if you're on another planet. So I find the silence and the peace of the woodland, I call myself a child of the forest, has pretty well the same effect as the ocean. So I feel very fortunate to have both of those magnificent areas of nature available.
So I picture you now smelling the ocean and looking out your window and seeing some greenery.
You got it.
Excellent. The first question I wanted to ask you, Mildred Lynn, was around the area of living in alignment with your highest purpose. And you are one of, if not the most honest and hardworking, generous individuals that I know. And from what I see, your work is in being in alignment with your highest purpose. So I guess in your words, could you tell us what you feel is your highest purpose?
My highest purpose. Well, I'm glad I did some work on that one over the years. So basically, it comes down to this statement, really, I've embraced with my heart and my soul. I feel that my highest purpose is to experience the joy of being alive. And I put an exclamation mark after alive. So it's to experience the joy of being alive. And I know it sounds like a very simple statement. It took me a while to really appreciate the experience part, because the experience part is not quantitative. So it's kind of outside of time and space, and it doesn't put any pressure on me. It doesn't say to experience very good or experience excellently. It just says experience it. And the other reason I like experience, you can tell I'm in love with my life purpose. The other reason I love experience is because it focuses on the senses, such as sight and sound and touch and taste. And I know there's a big one, smell. And also I'd add a sixth, which would be intuition. So I really like how I get to work with that, because I look at the senses, the six senses that I just mentioned, as my filters. Through these filters of sight and sound and touch and taste and smell and intuition, I get to experience life in a joyful way. It took me a long time to figure this out. And when I figured it out, how did I feel? I felt a huge sense of release and a huge sense of release.
I'm glad you said it took you a long time, because I was going to ask you,
yeah,
when did you grasp that and come up with that? I mean, hopefully it wasn't you didn't, the day you were born, jump onto the hospital floor and say, okay, this is my life purpose. For us, for myself and our listeners. Yeah, could you tell us how long that took and how did you come up with that?
Sure, but I guess it did happen at the moment of birth. Once I learned how to connect with my inner voice, I had something to play with, and we can talk about that a little bit more a little bit later, but I had a tool to work with my inner voice. So I would steady myself, I would go inside, and I would simply ask the question, what's my life purpose? And I would get this very subtle, gentle, warm feeling, and I would always get the same thing, to experience the joy of being alive. And this, of course, happened when I was an adult, not as a teenager or a child or a young adult. This happened when I was older. And to me, it didn't seem very substantial. I was disappointed. I thought, what? To experience the joy of being alive, that's it? And so, of course, that's why I tried it all from different angles, because I thought, well, if I asked it a different way, I'm going to get a different answer. So I have to say, I finally acquiesced and said, okay, well, this is what my inner voice is saying to me. Number one, I have to grow into this. And number two, I have to learn what it means. So I have learned to connect with my life purpose and grow into it. And I have to say, I did have scary and doubtful moments because it didn't seem like enough initially. But now I'm friends with it.
And do you feel like as a child, you had that question and maybe you lost it for a few years? Do you think that question was there early on?
When I think of myself as a child, when I was maybe 5 or 6 or 7, I was experiencing the joy of being alive. I just didn't know it. I love to discover. Everything fascinates me. As I'm speaking now, I'm visualizing myself as a child. So I came in with that, and I was living that as a child. But like most people, as the influence of the structures around you, society or family or whatever you choose to give your power to, becomes a louder voice than your inner voice, then you start to lose that centeredness and that inner peace that's connected with your purpose. So I lost it for years. I had no idea, absolutely none.
And I assume, I think that most people in some way can look back and see, okay, this is how I was naturally as a child, and our work, I would say, is to find that again. It will help us if we can find that natural way that a child is at the age of 3 or 4 or 5, and they know what makes them happy. So at that age, they don't have to search for it, and they don't have to question themselves at that age.
I would agree with that. So if you disconnect from that naturalness and the natural purpose of the child, and other voices become louder than your inner voice, when you're an adult, you're left with the situation of being a little bit disconnected. And then you have an opportunity through different processes or tools or for whatever to try to find that connection point again. And that's the process that I went through after many years.
I guess that would lead in, my next question naturally would come in to be, what does it feel like to be in alignment with your highest purpose?
That's a really good question. To be in alignment, I'll throw out some words.
Okay.
Peaceful, centered, connected, balanced. Also, being at ease with yourself, having a sense of openness being accepted. And I would say the biggest one would be a sense of curious. And for our listeners, if we needed to have an example, I would say it reminds me of an athlete being in the flow. Or when you're working on a project or something you love and you become totally absorbed, time and space disappear and all of a sudden hours fly by and you didn't even notice them fly by. That's what it feels like to be in alignment.
I'm curious about the feeling of curiosity that you mentioned. Why do you think we'd feel curious when we're in that flow?
That's a really good question, too. Curiosity, to me, is highly underrated or something that a lot of people don't explore. To me, curiosity is an appetite for life. It's the appetite or the tool you could use to put one step in front of the other to explore and discover. That's why I feel that the curiosity really needs to be in there.
That's beautiful, because as you described it that way, I can think of so many people that they have that appetite for life, and you get energy from being around those people because they have this inner energy and their eyes are wide open and their senses, like you mentioned, their senses are there and they're alert.
As opposed to being and world weary and stuck in a structure.
Okay. Those are great descriptions. So for those who might not feel like they're living in alignment with their highest purpose, could you give us an idea of what that might feel like or look like so that it might help those who don't feel like they're in alignment get a little bit closer to that path?
I want to go back just to a little story. I studied to become an integrative coach, life coach, with Debbie Ford in San Diego. And I loved the program. I had no idea what I was taking because I had just left the high-tech industry, and my vocabulary had nothing to do with mind, body, spirit, or anything like that. But the reason I chose this particular program is because it took your mind and your body and your emotion and your dream and your spirit and integrated them all, well, hence integrative coaching, to help you move forward in life. So I thought, well, how far wrong can I go with that? So in terms of alignment, what I found through the program and what I found maybe for about 5 years after that, I developed my own program and developed different tools in the area of life purpose and life force energy, was that when you're not in alignment, the area that you have the opportunity to strengthen is in the dream life force energy and the spirit life force energy. So the dream life force energy comes to me energetically as being in your non-awake state or your unconscious state. I look at it as being, it's the plumbing. And the spirit life force energy comes to me as the connection to source or the universe or God or the creator, whatever makes sense to you. And that comes to me as crystals and prisms energetically. And when I say comes to me, I have an inner eye and it shows me this visual. So if you're a person who doesn't feel like they're in alignment with their highest purpose and they're struggling or feeling stuck, I would really suggest to do things that would strengthen the dream life force energy and the spirit life force energy. And to do that, you can't go wrong. It's very simple. What you do is you go out in nature, you can meditate, you can read poetry, you can listen to music, you can luxuriate in color, you can feel textures, basically going back to your senses and indulge in those things. And the goal is to reestablish, why am I saying all this? The goal is to reestablish your natural heartbeat or your natural pulse, the one that's in alignment with the ocean or in alignment with the redwood trees or in alignment with the breeze that or the wind that flows. And then the other thing I would do, if you have that sense that here I am on earth, I'm not really doing what I feel I need to do, but I have no idea what that should be, disconnect the TV. I thought that those two things would be very important. I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV in my home, and I haven't watched TV for about a year and a half. And the reason being is that when I watch TV and there's commercials on, I find it very disturbing to my life force energy. It gives me a sense of urgency and extreme, and I feel like something bad's coming around the corner. I have no idea what it is, but if I buy something, it'll fix it.
Then the commercials, I guess, are working. Because I would say that's probably what they're going for.
It's the dream and the spirit life force energy to help you get in alignment. Anybody can access that through nature or meditation or poetry or the arts or music. And then the second thing is to remove those external voices. And the easiest and quickest way to do that is reduce or limit or get rid of your TV time. So by doing that, you're creating a positive energy matrix around yourself. And this matrix will support you as you strive to reconnect with your inner voice. And that's really, really important.
A few things that I really liked in there was when you said to go out in nature and or go with textiles or meditate, it's basically go to a place or do or surround yourself with what makes you feel alive.
Yes, and also the other point, too, is observe when you feel alive and at peace.
And peace.
When you're in alignment, you have a great sense of inner peace. It's like serenity. And then the other part is that, and I haven't heard people talk about this, alignment gives you the experience of great comfort. Being connected to your higher self is one of the greatest comforts that life can offer you.
It's one of the fears in becoming spiritual or connected with your higher self or God is that you're going to give up your comforts and maybe go into an uncomfortable zone. But it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, it's exact. Well, I can only speak from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, and what I've observed through interactions with other people. The conclusion at this point in my life that I have come to is that being in alignment with your higher self, it's not about deprivation. It's not walking the straight and narrow. Nobody has more fun in life than I do. I'm always laughing. You know that.
Yeah, I do.
Just like you find that as your inner voice becomes louder than external voices, and you have that centeredness or you have that sense of inner peace, you don't need as much. Because you feel comfortable and you feel full from the inside out.
So you feel that you have enough and you are enough.
Exactly. And I also suggest if someone's looking to be in alignment is to take the pressure off yourself. Because over the lifetime, you know, we all wear many hats and we play many roles and there's lots of opportunities and there's lots of disappointments, but just take the pressure off yourself. When I was doing a coaching program with some people, they'd come and I'd say, well, why are you doing this coaching program? Well, I really want to know what my life's purpose is. Well, I'd really like to know what my life's purpose is. And I used to chuckle and I'd say to them, I know that's what you think you want, but if I came to the front door and gave you your life purpose on a silver platter, you would tell me to come back in 2 weeks, you're not ready. So my sense is that people aren't necessarily looking for their life purpose because that changes as you go along like the continuum. What they're really looking for is a sense of connectedness, for a sense of inner peace, for a sense of meaning in their life, for a sense of comfort. Those are the energetic vibrations that, from my perspective, people are really looking for, and they don't know how to articulate that, as I didn't. And the umbrella that conveniently comes along is like, okay, well, we'll put it under the umbrella of life purpose.
You're making me think of one of the many things that I've learned from hearing your perspective, and one of them is, and I've heard it many times, is it's about the journey. But I feel like, I guess watching you, it's what that really means is almost, I guess for me, it's challenging myself, but in a fun way, day to day, and not looking at the angle of what's my purpose, what was my job here, what was I put on this earth to do, but creating joy in every day with whoever is around me that day, wherever I am, and whatever I'm doing that day, is challenging myself to see the joy and see and help others see that joy in that moment.
And that's not quantitative.
Mm-hmm.
That's putting no pressure on yourself to do a good job.
Because I feel like if you're so into the moment or that the hour, you're not looking too far ahead. So you're not looking for anything to check off a list or to see what the bottom line is, because the next hour is going to bring something else.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the other thing I liked what you just, what you, when you spoke about disconnecting from the TV and the effect that some commercials can have on others and that have on you, is shutting off the external voices, which then invites your internal voice. And I think that, that I know that's very helpful, because when we're searching for that inner voice, we're searching and searching, but we forget to quiet the external voices, because they can be louder sometimes than the internal voice. And they're at a, the internal voice is then at an unfair advantage.
Well, yeah, and the other thing too, which is kind of comical, like, there's hundreds if not thousands of external voices chatting away to you. There's only one in inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the inner voice, from my experience, is subtle. And it's gentle and it's loving and it's accepting. Whereas external voices, the ones that are noise or jig up your energetic vibrations, there's so many. It is so many different things. And you tend to go up into your head. So one thing that I'd offer for consideration for people who are looking to be more in alignment is to understand that your inner voice has nothing to do with your head or your mind. Your inner voice comes from your heart and your core. So if I'm doing energy work with people, I usually say the least useful tool I have doing energy work is my mind, because I just don't go there. It's just like I cut my, it gets cut off at the neck. It's the information, the intuitive impressions, the sources of inspiration, it does not come anywhere close to my head.
And that can take a while to learn that.
Well, it takes a while to learn that, and it also takes great discipline.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I can hear a voice now saying, Glenna, you're speaking from your head. I can hear you. You're cut off at your throat, which was wonderful that I had the experience that I did with you, Mildred Lynn, because the first 10 times I thought, well, I don't know. How do you know? And it was just a matter of trying to over and over again to practice and see, where does it feel like this is coming from? Can I shut this brain off, which is a tool and a useful tool, but can I shut this off right now because it's interfering with the heart?
Yes. Yeah. And you do it bit by bit, step by step.
Mm.
And from a happy place, an appreciative place, a grateful place. It's like, wow, there really is a little voice in there.
So that would tell you, and I guess with the next question, I'm curious what your answer would be, is for those that are in a point of their lives there where they're not utilizing their intuition at this point, what advice would you give them of how they know what their inner voice sounds like or feels like, or what their inner guidance might feel like?
That, I like that question. Well, you're getting right down to the nitty-gritty here. You're not letting me.
You know me.
I'd like to share that what I've found for myself and what I've observed is that many people don't let themselves access or limit their access to their intuition or inspiration, because to me, they come through as the same vibration. It's because of fear or perhaps a belief system that doesn't encourage or support accessing intuition or inspiration. And then the other thing that comes to me is that in our society, we're not really taught how to access intuition. Although I will preface that in saying that you can access it through maybe socially acceptable venues such as meditation or praying. People are more familiar with those avenues. for me, my intuition or I should say unfortunately for me, my intuition or inspiration never came through socially acceptable venues. So for years, I simply squished it down in a box. And no way to put a voice to what I was experiencing. I just simply knew that I knew things or I felt things. So I just wanted to put that out there because I know there's people listening who may be in a similar situation. And the breakthrough, the thing that changed the playing field for me, was when I decided to define my life based on happiness. So I decided to observe what things made me happy and what things didn't make me happy. And I started to observe that when I listened to my inner voice, I felt happy. And it wasn't just the lights, you know, hi-ho, hi-ho. Happiness tiptoed through the tulips. It was a really a deep and a contented and a connected happiness that radiated from my core. So it got my time and attention. For people out there, and if they do have intuitive impressions or if they do have inspiration and they're afraid to share it, this is what I would recommend if they're interested. The first thing I would do is I would explore the poem Anyway. It's often attributed to Mother Teresa, but it's called Anyway. And I would really read that poem and be with that poem from your heart. And then to tackle emotions that might come up if you're in a fear place, I would read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. That would be the second thing I'd do. And the third thing I would do, come to think of it, to pinpoint where you are on life's journey and what your inner voice is trying to say to you, I would really pay attention to what quotes or photos captivate you. Because I found through working with people that one quote that really appeals to me now is that, you know, remember that the wind longs to play in your hair and the earth loves the feel of your feet. So what's that saying to me? Well, that's my inner voice telling me, Mildred, you need to get out more in nature. Now, that particular quote or affirmation may not appeal to me next week. So what's that telling me? That tells me I'm getting enough nature. So that's the tool. Go to Google, look at inspiring quotes or look at quotes and simply print them off or make note of the three or four that hit you. Spend some time, be with those quotes, and figure out what the quote is saying to you, what it means to you, and then you'll start to engage your inner voice. And then I know I must have another piece of advice in there. Let me think. Here it is. Number four. If you're hearing me talk about positive life force energy and negative life force energy, and you're wondering, what is she talking about? I would read a book by Dr. David Hawkins called Power versus Force. So there's a that I would take. I would read the poem Anyway. I would read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. I would look at how I'm reacting or if I'm captivated by quotes or photos. Spend some time with that. And to understand positive and negative life force energy, I would read Power versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins. That should keep anybody busy for a couple of months.
Wow, those are great because they're practical. Anybody could set out to do that. And I love the quotes and the photos because it's something that you can do daily. You can take 5 minutes. And it shows us that we don't have to look too far to try to learn a little bit more about ourselves and our hear our inner voice or look for some guidance. Look what we're attracted to every day, what makes us feel alive day to day.
Exactly. Well put.
So I guess that the next question I'd like to ask you is, do you feel that you have a unique gift in the area of intuition, or do you feel that each of us has this opportunity to develop our intuition?
Well, let me take a step back. My philosophy is, or what I've learned or observed at this point in my life, is I feel that everyone comes to the earth with the tools they need to experience life in alignment with their highest purpose. So it's almost as if you take in what you need and you develop it while you're here. Once again, my purpose is to experience the joy of being alive. So since my purpose is to experience the joy of being alive, inspiration and intuition are immensely useful tools. I have an aptitude or raw ability in that area, and it's up to me to develop them toward the end of experiencing the joy of being alive. How we can look at it is we all have aptitudes and raw ability for different things. So, for example, a painter might have an aptitude to capture how light falls on the leaves of the trees or the flowers. Or a musician might have an aptitude or raw ability to put harmonies together, beautiful harmonies. Or a doctor like yourself might have a strong sense of compassion for people who are suffering. Mm-hmm. So for me, intuition, like the intuition and inspiration that I experience, is simply an expansion of the five senses or six senses that I mentioned before, the sight and the taste and the smell and the touch and the sound and inner knowing. We can't forget that. And what it feels like, and this would go for people with other gifts, what it feels like, and a good example would be, have you ever watched someone with infrared goggles on? Night goggles. Infrared. Well, that's what I look at a musician or I look at a mathematician or I look at an artist. It's just that you're going through life with goggles that can see a little bit further. The field, the horizon is a little bit bigger than if you didn't have the goggles on. And you're given your goggles when you come in to the earth.
Mm.
So I do feel that we all have a capacity to strengthen and deepen the connection with our inner voice. I really deeply feel that the connection with the inner voice is the true treasure rather than intuition.
Mm. And intuition is a tool that you are gifted in. Or have a gift. Would you say that?
But I would say I have an aptitude for it.
Okay.
Just as a painter might have an aptitude to paint, or a mathematician might have an aptitude for math, and we all know that in our lives. Or a singer might have an aptitude for using their voice. So I would say that I have an aptitude in this area. I would say that this is nice, and it's a tool I use to express my life purpose. The part that connects us all, though, is the inner voice, being connected with, and that's true treasure everybody has.
And we all have an equal opportunity to tune into our inner voice.
We all have an inner voice just waiting to be heard.
That's right. So with your life purpose being to enjoy and to experience joy in life, would that be the umbrella, and within that, where do you put your generosity to use your gift of intuition to help others? Would that be also your life purpose, or where would that fit in?
To me, sharing and being in a state of gratitude is part of the equation that brings me joy.
Okay.
One of the things I came in with.
Hmm.
So it's like being at a party all by yourself. It's much more fun if you're at the party with people.
That's a nice way to put that. And that helps. That helps a lot to explain that.
Everybody can share their gifts. It's more fun and more, it makes you feel warmer and you have a greater sense of comfort and connection by sharing your gifts.
It makes me think of when I was listening to Marianne Williamson last night, and she was speaking about how our ego comes from fear, and that's that we know it's our ego speaking when we don't feel like if others succeed, we succeed, and vice versa. And when something good happens to one person, it happens to us all. You definitely have that perspective and philosophy of you not only want yourself to experience joy in life, you want everyone, humans, animals, everything on the earth, to experience joy in life.
Yes. Yeah. It's based on cooperation, not competition.
Mm-hmm. Which, when you look at it through that perspective, you can, to be able to look at through that perspective, you're obviously in alignment with your higher purpose, because when you look at it that way, it makes you feel comfortable, yet curious, and in balance, and alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I really feel that's available for everybody.
Mm. Well, I think for our listeners, that's hopeful, and it may sound simple, but I know personally that you have a lot of courage, but you also can explain it in such a way that it makes it attainable for everyone, which is really nice.
Thank you, Gwenna.
So I'm going to give you a break, Mildred, so you can go pour a little hot water in your tea, and I'll give the listeners a break just for a minute, but we will be back with Watch Your Prescription for Balance.
Yes, we've added to our lineup of lively, thought-provoking shows, but don't forget our original Sunday morning lineup at 10:30 a.m. Join us for Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn McDonald every first Sunday. Revolution with Heisey Ludmers every second Sunday. Convergence with John Carosella every third Sunday. And our popular on-air call-in show, the fourth Sunday of every month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows, LIVE.
Welcome back to Watch Your Prescription for Balance. This is Dr. Glenna Calder. And this evening, or this afternoon if you're on the West Coast, I'm interviewing the co-creator of Watch Your Prescription for Balance and host of Healing Conversations, Mildred Lynn McDonald. And I'd also like to mention that this show and previous shows of Watch Your Prescription for Balance or Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn is recorded, and they're available on Blog Talk Radio on the Firefly Willows channel at any time at your leisure. Are you there, Mildred?
Here.
Great.
I'm popped up in the tea department, too.
Oh, good, good. Well, I've got a couple more questions for you, Mildred Lynn. Okay, I'd love to know, besides having a nice cup of hot tea, what else inspires you to show up each day like you do?
Well, I have a great appetite and a curiosity and appreciation for life. Because of this, as you could probably attest to, I'm rarely bored. So I know if I'm bored that I might be out of alignment. That's one of my signposts there. And I find that because I cultivate and I listen and I cherish my inner voice and I listen to it, it feeds me positive life force energy. And I also laugh at myself a lot too, so I don't take myself too seriously. So I have a generator inside of me full of positive life force energy that initiates from the connection with my inner voice. And that motivates me and that inspires me. You might be, Glenna, you might be surprised, and sometimes I surprise myself, because I don't really have a great big sense of drive. Like, it's not a driving force that's propelling me down the road towards some goal on the horizon or a sense of a great purpose. What I do have and what I strive for is harmony and balance and beauty in all aspects of my life. And I wanted to share, before it sounds too fairy tale-like, and it's also comical, I often laugh at myself, is that the information, and you're asking me how do I show up every day like I do, mm-hmm. The information I see from my inner voice is not always validated in the physical world. So they might not always sync up. So a lot of times, when I quiet myself, when I'm feeling connected and comfortable and at peace, I'll get a source of inspiration or intuition, and it tells me to go left when every indicator in the physical world is telling me to go right. Hmm. So that is a very interesting dynamic to manage as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And play in that arena, because I strive to choose my inner voice, what it really does is it cultivates challenges, and you need to develop stamina, and you need to make a friend of strength. You need to get your strength somewhere and courage. And once again, it comes from that positive life force energy that's generated from the connection to the inner voice. So on a funny note, as I was starting out and I was playing with listening to my inner voice, and I know that many of our listeners are playing with listening to their inner voice, it was not always a pretty picture. I was awkward, and sometimes it was messy. Sometimes, Mildred was horrified because I was engaged and entrenched in another energy matrix, in a society-driven matrix, and it just didn't make any sense to me. So sometimes it just took everything I had to give my inner voice a chance. So that's where I believe the appetite for life is innate. If I have any drive in me, it's to master those challenges.
Mm. And from a naturopathic doctor perspective, I would, of course, from that perspective, I would say that you have, not only do you have stamina, but you've got a good balance of how much to push yourself, and you know your cues about when it's time to step back, take a break, and fill up again, and you know yourself to know this is what I need now or I won't be able to show up the way I want to show up.
The inner voice provides that information tool, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you listen to it, which I think it must give you, keep your strength up and keep your stamina up so that when you're faced in certain situations where your inner voice is saying, nah, you're not going that way, that's not in your highest purpose, it's to take a sharp right. To be able to have that strength and stamina is important, and we don't have that unless we know ourselves to go, what do I need, how do I support myself if I want to be able to sustain this type of a life?
Yeah, that's excellent, Glenna. Excellent point.
I think it's great, and I think all of us can try to find somebody in our life that you could, whether you read about this type of person or you know them or you stand back from afar and admire them, to take those lessons from them and be able to go, okay, this is what they do. What do I do that can fill me up, and how often do I do it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And giving yourself permission. Giving yourself permission to fill yourself up.
Mm-hmm. So you mean we don't have to walk around empty and tired? It's kind of knowing, it ties into that victim of be careful not to be that victim, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also, like, to get away from the human condition, I take a lot of cues from nature. Mm-hmm. And I notice the flowers or the trees or the grass or whatever, you know, in the natural realm, driving themselves to the point of exhaustion in terms of, I guess what I'm trying to say, and it's just coming to me now, for inspiration and guidance for balance and how to keep yourself full, the cycles of nature, they're available to everybody, wonderful guidance. And that's what I use, and I use more and more.
So this naturally ties into my next question, which, when you have a physical ailment, how do you use your intuition to guide you on how to deal with it, what step you need to take?
Okay. So what I would do, if I had a physical ailment, this is what I would do. I would immediately go inside and discern if it's something that requires medical attention or healing attention. And then I would ask myself two questions. The first question is, well, what's my body trying to tell me? And the second question, Glenna, is one that I learned from you. And the question is this, are you friends with your body?
Mm.
I would ask myself those two questions. And then the third area that I'd move into is, if I got the medical issue requires attention, I would contact a naturopathic doctor, someone into natural medicine, and if guided, I might contact an allopathic doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also go back to a muscle testing model.
Mm.
Muscle testing basically based on the premises that there's once again, we go back to the positive life force energy, things that nourish you, and negative life force energy, things that drain you. You can take that model and apply it to many things in your life. So you could learn about muscle testing, or someone could learn how to use a pendulum. That's another way to do it. There's lots of resources available there to work with positive and negative life force energy in the context of what nourishes you and what drains you. So that's the steps that I take. Literally, I take those steps.
Excellent. I think that's great, and I think that's how empowering is that, to be able to pause and first ask yourself before asking anybody external, which again is asking your internal voice before you looked to external ways of, how do I feel? Where should I go for the next step? Is it an adjustment I have to make in my own lifestyle or diet? And if it's beyond that, then where do I go for help? But to ask yourself calmly, and remember that you know, the person knows above anybody else what they really need. But to be able to quiet ourselves enough to just listen to that inner voice to say, what's going to nourish me the most, and where am I out of balance right now?
And one thing, as your inner voice becomes stronger and you have more confidence and more trust in it, and you learn to work with it, just like any working relationship, what I found happens is that you realize that you are responsible for you, and everything in life is for your consideration. And that, to me, is truly empowering.
Mm. And it does give us the power in any situation to take it or leave it.
Exactly.
But at least consider it. And I don't think it was that long ago we were chatting, and you had told me that you don't speak negatively to yourself, which mm-hmm. has completely amazed me that somebody could say, I don't speak that way. Yet it was the most logical thing that I had thought of or heard of in a while, but yet it surprised me. So did this take a lot of practice or work? And I can only imagine that if we were all to accomplish this and be able to say that we'd have so much more tolerance and patience for those we work with, for our families, for those we live with, and also for ourselves.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes if I tell people I don't have negative thoughts about myself, they might think it's because I'm a Leo. That's the reason. A while ago, I realized that it was rare for me to have negative thoughts about myself. And the reason was simple. The last person I wanted to fight with was me. I figured, I'm here with this body. I can't get away with me. I'm going to make myself an ally rather than beat myself up. It just seemed like a complete waste of time. And I just assumed everybody did that. But I guess they didn't. And the other thing was that since my orientation was happiness, it was really kind of impossible to feel happy while hitting yourself over the head with a board. So I put those two things together. People are listening and they're wondering, well, if she doesn't have negative thoughts, well, where does she go? Like, what's the thought process? So where I do go is I go back to my life purpose, always back to life purpose, to experience the joy of being alive. And instead of giving myself a negative message, if I'm in a situation, I just assume that I'm missing something or I'm off course a little bit, and my antidote is laughing at myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I wanted to add, because this is coming to me now, is that my inner voice, as we travel through life, my inner voice is unconditionally loving and supporting of Mildred. So it never gives me messages of comparison. It doesn't put any conditions on me. It doesn't give me what ifs or you should do this or should do that. It always seems to be pretty pleased with how things are unfolding. And what that does for me is it encourages me to explore other perspectives. And it encourages me to relax. And it encourages me to laugh. And sometimes it encourages me to cry, just to release the energy, the vibration. So through listening to my inner voice, and I'm sure other people will find that, you start to develop great compassion for yourself. And from that place of compassion, then you can start looking at other people differently.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, you often try to laugh at yourself and to not take things too serious. And it's hard to laugh at yourself when you're beating yourself up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But you also helped me to just look at that and look at negative self-talk and go, there is absolutely no purpose that serves.
Absolutely.
And I cannot think of one purpose that would serve, to speak negative to yourself.
The only reason you'd speak negatively to yourself is that if you've disappointed yourself based on expectations that were imposed upon you from society or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Your inner voice is very loving. Like, your inner voice is soothing and works with you. I've never heard, and now my years of cultivating my relationship with my inner voice has never had an unkind or scolding word for me. Never. It's always been very accepting and loving and compassionate. And that gives you the freedom and the confidence to explore other perspectives, which is, you know, really all you kind of need.
Mm. And if you're coming from a place of speaking encouragingly to yourself and not speaking negatively, I can only imagine that it helps you go out into the world, into work or friends or meetings or situations, and you would naturally be more positive towards other people and think more positive things because you're coming from such a place where you spend your day in a positive place inside, within your own head.
Within my own heart.
And your own
and
head.
Mm-hmm. And where I would go with it with other people is it always occurs to me that there must be another way to look at this, or we must mm-hmm. be missing a piece of. Or just give yourself time or relax. Let's take a deep breath. But they are the flowers that grow in that garden.
Nice. So you've taught me many lessons in the time I've known you. But one of the greatest, what is one of the greatest lessons that you've learned that helps you navigate through your life?
There's a big lesson I learned, and I guess it was a big decision and a big connection point, and it was kind of putting a stake in the ground for me. So my biggest lesson by far was the inner knowledge that my higher self, and when I say my higher self, it's how it looks to me, is it's the part of me that existed before I was born, and it's the part of me that exists after I pass over, that higher self will never let me down. That lesson, huge for me. It was so freeing, and it felt at the time as solid as like the ocean and the trees and the air and the soil, and formed my foundation. So I knew no matter what, my higher self would never let me down. That was magical.
Mm.
Now, I got to say, I have to hear this and preface it. By knowing that my higher self will never let me down doesn't mean that everything always goes my way in life. You know, I have my big wins and I have my big losses like everybody else who walks the planet. What I do have, and what I've come to understand, is that through this connection, I always feel the warmth and security of the higher self.
Mm, nice. So I remember during one of our talks, it occurred to me, we were having a chat, that your connection with Source or Higher Self or God is so strong that if you were picked up and plopped in the middle of a country that was completely new to you and you knew no one, that you would fundamentally be okay. You would, of course, you would miss your family and your friends and your spouse, but deep down, you would be okay if you knew, this is it, this is my life now. You know, you dust off your shoes, continue your work. And at that time, I remember thinking, well, that connection is, I believe, what we're all striving for and would change every aspect of our life. And also realize that if you had that connection, you would detach and not be so attached to your job or relationships. Not to sound harsh, because I think by becoming more detached, you would actually experience them more fully and more alive, and they would actually become more meaningful because you're not in that relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship or a job, because out of fear that you need it, but more because you're just joyful to be experiencing it. And it was a huge clarity moment for me. And I remember us talking about it, and it would also help us, I think, to detach from our titles of teacher, doctor, mother, brother, manager, founder, or whatever. We'd be less attached to those things when they were taken away from us or they disintegrated. And we wouldn't be so attached to things or people that hurt us, because at the fundamental, we still had our connection with higher self. We still had that connection with Source. And I know you have a beautiful relationship with your husband and your siblings and your parents, and I see that. And although you have the normal ups and downs of any relationship, you're close to them. But within that, you manage to be your own independent person, and very much Mildred Lynn McDonald, and this is who you show up as. How do you maintain that balance?
Well, thank you for saying that. First of all, I'm feeling quite grand here.
I got to get in there somewhere. Is it all that positive self-talk inside your heart, right?
Let me see now. Well, I guess first of all, I don't define myself as having a particular role. I always view myself as a human being who walks the earth at the same time as 6 billion other people are walking the earth. So if someone was going to ask me what my title was, I would say I am a human being walking the earth, and I would get stared at, but that's what I will say, I'm a human being. I look at my interactions with family. Family is precious to me, and friends are precious to me, and the earth is precious to me. I acknowledge that this is what makes sense, that our souls have agreed to enter the earth plane with a blood connection. And on my end, they're here to help me experience the joy of being alive, which is my life purpose. And I'm also here to help them with their life's purpose. So that's where I put that. In terms of my job, how I look at it as my job, number one, is to be in alignment with my highest purpose. That always comes first. And the rest flows from that foundation. So when I show up for friends or family or anyone, and I'm in alignment with my highest purpose, what I have found and what I have learned through experience is that things fall in place. And they may not fall in place immediately, but they do fall in place over time. And the commitment I made to myself in terms of showing up for me and showing up for other people is I always want to be able to look myself in the face and always be able to keep my word. And I am striving to do that for my entire lifetime. So that's where the balance comes in. So as you can see, there's a few components in there, but that makes up my balance equation.
And I guess what question came to me was I was thinking of if there's a person listening now and they have an inkling of what their highest purpose is, but the fear in going that direction is so great because they're so scared of what they may lose or may become detached from. Is there anything that you could leave with us and leave with the listeners of a thought or something to soften that fear or to edge that fear away?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Glenn, as usual, this is kind of a little funny story to go along with it. So I'd have to say that for a long, long time, I myself was afraid to acknowledge my aptitude for intuition and inspiration, which are tools that are very important for me to experience the joy of being alive. So I had my equation there, and I was afraid to use my tools. And the reason I was afraid is because I had nowhere to put this intuition or inspiration, and it made me feel scared. And I was scared that I would be misunderstood, and I was scared I was going to be excluded from the people and things who matter for me. And I was scared about what the road would mean, or did I have to give up stuff, or who would I be, and all those crazy questions. But, of course, never in the negative sense. And the biggest fear I had when I think back at that time, I was really afraid that I'd be challenged and I'd be at a loss to explain what I was feeling because, as people probably can figure out, intuitive impressions and inspiration don't always translate smoothly into words. So I really feared being tongue-tied and frustrated. Mm. And this went on. This went on. You know, you get tired of your own story. It went on and on and on. It occurred to me, well, this is not going to go away. So finally, one day, I threw up my hands. And I was tired of suffering quietly. And I said, okay, universe, source, God, creator, if you want me, if you want me to listen to this inner voice, then you can have me. But I have three conditions. And I'll explain why I'm sharing this in a moment. I'll just tell you what the three conditions were. My first condition was that I would always use my gifts in integrity. And if I ever used my intuition or inspiration that was not in my highest interest or the highest interest of everybody else around the table, that the gifts would be taken from me. So that was my thought. I did not want the responsibility of being out of integrity with these tools. And the second thing was that I would always meet on my life's path interesting, fun people that I could learn from and experience the joy of being alive with. Mm-hmm. And then the thing I asked from the universe or source or for God, if I was choosing to follow my inner voice, which would lead to experiencing the joy of being alive, was that I would have the wisdom and the presence of mind and the wherewithal to be able to balance myself as I use these tools walking forward. So what I would suggest to people listening or listeners who are in that fear place, and I definitely was in that fear place, is to decide for yourself if you would choose to listen to your inner voice, and at this point forget about your life purpose, listen to your inner voice, is there something that the universe could give you in return that would help ease the way for you? And I had three things. Maybe you'll have five things. But you will feel that you're engaged in the process. And somehow by through that exercise, I would say that you're going to have some insights that you can take and you can play with and explore.
Wow, that's big and it's real. Because yes. It's something we're not maybe taught is to say, okay, I want to say get a little demanding, but it's more know yourself and know what you need to be nurtured, which is not going to go against your higher purpose or God's wish for you, because we all need nourishment. That's how we're made as human beings. We need to be nourished to be able to show up. So it goes along with us saying get to know what you need. So I think it's beautiful that you set those out to say this is what I need to show up. And it was more probably you're saying that to the universe or to God, but you're also saying that to yourself. Don't forget this.
Yes.
Give this gift to yourself.
Yeah, and I'm amazed, Glenna, that this happened, let me see, 10 years ago. These three things have stood the test of time.
Wow.
If I could go back in time, I would choose those three things again.
Mm.
And I know I went in deep. I went into my core, and I know I was very genuine, and I wasn't playing. I was just genuinely putting the stake in the ground saying, if this is the path forward, if this is in my highest interest, I will give it my best shot, but I need these three things in my back pocket.
I love that analogy of I put the stake in the ground, because we all know when we ever feel that we're doing that, we mean business. So is there anything that any resources, I know you have given two or three actually already. Is there any other resources or anything you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Oh, I would like to compliment you on your wonderful questions.
Well, it was a long time in the making, and I'm just glad that you said yes, that I could have you live to ask you any question I wanted, and it was opened. So it takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to say yes to something like that. But it's a lot of fun at the same time.
The only thing that comes to me that I would leave people to think about, our listeners, for their consideration, is to shift their dialogue from life purpose to inner voice and cultivating the inner voice, because your inner voice is the road to your life purpose.
And that takes the pressure off. And in a big way, it takes the pressure off and really helps to zero in. Well, that's great, and I want to thank you. And I love doing it live because I've wanted to ask you these questions, but even more so, I wanted to be able to share it with our listeners and anyone who's looking for this information, which is really helpful. So I want to thank our listeners and to remind you, if you wanted to listen to this again, it's recorded, and it's on the Firefly Willows website, and it will always be on Watch Your Prescription for Balance's Facebook page. And it's the first Thursday of every month. And I also wanted to remind you that Mildred Lynn has her own show, Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn, which is on the first Sunday of every month. And have a good afternoon, Mildred, and everybody have a good evening. Okay,
bye,
thanks, Mildred Lynn. Bye.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows, LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows, LIVE, for Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn McDonald, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.
A rock in a stream, we live in a painting, the island is shaped by what the wind says. Salt of the earth is the lake at the heart of the island, portrayed by the tune played on your heartstring. How to explain it is to feel it. If you feel it, you can hear it. You need to be here to feel it. Clouds, they are shaped by what the sea says.